Hello, I'm Mariëtte Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others, introducing you to wellness professionals ready to assist with sincerity and care. Today's topic is Dr. Irene's journey coping with retinopathy, depression, and stroke. I trust that any listener whose life is touched by a physical or mental health challenge will be inspired by my guest, Dr. Irene van der Merwe. Irene is a medical doctor specializing in holistic counseling, natural medicine, stress solutions, and youthful living, speaking from Somerset West. Welcome, Irene.
Hi, Mariëtte. It's good to be on your podcast.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us. In the course of our conversation, Irene will talk about ways she has found to cope with the health challenges she faces, and then it will be fun question time. Irene, I've known you for decades, and in South Africa, you've been at the forefront of combining conventional medicine with holistic wellness. Do tell us more.
Yes, I was the GP work for 24 years, and then I realized that that only treats the effect of illness, not the cause. And I started looking for underlying stress that led to disease, and from there developed the stress part of where disease can take an origin. But even to step further back into the psycho-spiritual levels, and that's why I changed then more to a holistic approach, so that the individual is not just a physical body, but mind, emotion, spirit, and physical, and all work together in a holistic, whole person approach.
What is the main focus of your work at the moment?
Well, I focus very much on brain plasticity or neuroplasticity, and then also at the moment on women's health, and also running workshops on, you know, the different life stages of a woman. So that's the two focus areas. And then always all my focus areas also around metabolic syndrome, of which we will be talking more today.
Yes. Now, Irene, you've experienced intense health challenges, and they have enabled you to become a source of strength and empathy for others. How would you define the concept of the wounded healer?
Well, the wounded healer is one of the archetypes that were defined by Carl Jung many years ago. But it's the underlying woundedness that many healers have. The people who have the drive for healing often come from a place of woundedness. And through that, they can empathize with their clients or patients. And I've been on that journey, it feels like forever, as a wounded healer, with a few in the last 4 or 5 years that it's been really an acute journey of healing from a wounded healer to maybe a more empathetic and observant and able to listen healer.
Before we come to your specific health challenges, you've just mentioned brain or neuroplasticity, which is very important to you. Why do you find it so important?
Well, to go back, I've been doing research on neuroplasticity and working actually with it for 15 years, but I literally have had to experience my own need for that after I had the stroke, and that's what helped me to recover, because I had the intellectual knowledge, but then I had to walk the talk and not just talk the talk. So that's where I realized how important it is for us Actually, from all ages, but especially as we become more mature, is to really work on challenging both our brain halves, right and left brain, to work together as a whole brain. And we can all do it. We don't have to wait for a stroke or a brain tumor, because that's where the research showed the possibility of making new neurons throughout life, and that you are not slowly going downhill after 30, but going more and more into the wisdom years with all the knowledge and experience to share. So it's a very important aspect that I practically had to live through it through my wounded healer journey.
Could you tell us about the health challenges that you've experienced in recent years?
Yes, I'll start with the retinopathy, and then I'll show it how it all ties in together, actually. But the retinopathy, that is a microinflammation of the retina of both eyes, and that leads to, you know, sort of poor vision or visual challenges. That happened about 5 years ago, when I thought I developed cataracts in my right eye, but then it was discovered that it's retinopathy. So that was a bit of a shock, and I had lots of procedures and vitrectomies and all of that. So that's been a quite an ongoing thing, because I write and I speak. So it's very difficult for me not to be able to read, or a high challenge. And then a year later, I had the first stroke, also microinflammation in the brain. And often a stroke is called inflammation, or depression is called inflammation of the brain. So I had this stroke where I was completely paralyzed on the right side of the body. And then through neuro or brain plasticity, through the specific play dance that I did, and crossover movements, I really recovered well after that. Then I had another minor stroke about a year later. And all of that was also diagnosed on MRI scan. And then I had another MRI scan a year ago, just because the physician wanted to make sure. And then I was admitted for acute depression in July at Helderberg Clinic. And then the psychiatrist said, she first asked for all the reports from the radiologist who did the MRI scans. And then she wanted to do a repeat scan, which was done then in July. And that sort of, we'll get also to that, but that's also where, you know, it's a high, very high risk for a third big stroke, just through the pathology that's going on there, and then dementia and multiple sclerosis. But that is the very high risk on the far end of mainstream medicine. And because I do the balance between the two, I've got another philosophy, if you want to call it that, about the risk and the dread. So that's basically my journey. And when I had the first stroke, I was really angry. And it's, you know, for the high power that did this to me. And that was because I've always been, I mean, since 1998, I've been doing natural medicine and wellness, and then why am I punished? But I had to grow through that deep despondency to know that there was a purpose, a deeper purpose, which I've since found out, because now I can teach and guide people, because my passion in life is health education, and it's also the purpose of why I do what I do, is to spread those seeds of hope and healing to others, and then they will fall where they fall and grow where they grow in the time also when it's necessary. So that's basically my journey, that I thought I was out of the woundedness, and then it just kept on and on for quite a number of years.
Yeah, thank you, Irene. Now, we're talking about three health challenges here. We've got stroke and retinopathy and depression. And I know it's difficult to separate them from each other, but I thought perhaps if you could talk about one of them at a time, just to show listeners which ways you have found to cope and what you have learned. So which one would you like to start with?
Well, I can start with the brain plasticity or neuroplasticity after the stroke. So I will use the stroke as an example of also actually how my approach is different, because that's where I started doing the practical crossover movements with fingers using harmony and sound, because the brain integrates very well, starts to resonate left and right brain with all the brain waves, different frequencies, when there's sound, harmonic sound. So I use that, and I love dancing. So I've been developing dancing movements that one can even do in a hospital bed or sitting upright in a chair, that you use your arms, legs. And I even worked with people who was more paralyzed than I ever was. And then they couldn't move anything. And I even had them then just move their tongue, because that shows that they still the ability to command certain muscles. So it's through practice and patience and perseverance, what I call the three P's, that one can start implementing basic neuroplasticity tools in your daily life.
Irene, when you say harmonic sound, could you give us more detail about what that refers to?
Well, that is the sound has a harmony. If it's just a discordant noise, that a lot of types of music that we find is not harmonic, it's disharmonic. So the brain never integrates, and it causes also a lot of stress, feeling of anxiety and stress. So music that follows a gentle beat, normally a three rhythm, a 1, 2, 4, or 8 rhythm. So the count is towards a certain harmony. And then the notes would fill in the spaces, and it's the spaces between the notes that actually creates the ambiance of harmonic. And then people choose music that they like to do this with, but just with a little bit of a beat, because you also sometimes do flowing music, and then like gumboot dance music, and you know, and lifting up. So it's also, I base it, I'm a NEA technique teacher, so I base a lot of my movements, even in the chair and in a bed, on the crossover of the different movements that you find in NEA.
Could you tell people who don't know what NEA is, could you tell them what it is?
NEA technique dancing is sort of fusion fitness that you move with Aikido moves, you move with gumboot dancing, really stomping moves. You do Isadora Duncan dancing, which is lifted and up. And then it's combined with amazing music that you just feel the music and express through the different body movements. And in that way, you can heal actually your whole body and mind. And again, using the different movements challenges both sides of your brain. And, you know, the function, it works. And people feel, once you've done that for like 10 minutes a day, one feels totally uplifted. So it's also a way to manage depression, is if you can get yourself as far as to move a short little walk outside, or putting on music you love and then just sway and or stomp or anything, your whole body, and lift your arms to lift your mood. And if you really keep quiet and still and listen to your body, you can actually feel the deep relaxation and the peace that envelops your whole being after that kind of movement.
And Irene, you said you were going to refer to metabolic syndrome. Is this a good place while we're talking about the strokes?
Yes, we can talk about that as well. Metabolic syndrome is where you have high cholesterol, specifically LDL, the high-risk cholesterol, and triglyceride, the little blood fat, the fat in the blood that you look at. And then also abdominal obesity or weight, where you put it on around the waist area. And then blood pressure, also over a certain number, and that's normally above 130 over 85, then it's high blood pressure. And then also high blood glucose levels or high normal. So it's called a sort of a pre thing. And then you can also measure fasting insulin to see if that's also high or low. And if those factors are there, then that diagnosis is made. So I've had metabolic syndrome for my life. You're born with it. But a nice thing about what we also do is genetic testing. So, for instance, my daughter was in business with me. We both went for genetic testing, and mine was just confirmed. But hers was identified as a predisposition. So she knew to start from a very young age to look after the factors so that it doesn't express. In, for instance, I had the high blood pressure, and then for 2015, as I was writing my book, Managing Diabetes and Related Health Challenges, I was identified with high blood sugar, actually very high. So both of those played a definite causal role in the stroke I had. And the reason was also underlying stress of starting a new business and then having to move in the just 2 months before COVID lockdown started. It was very high stress. So that's what caused the first stroke. And the second one, it's also financial stress. And, you know, just all the stress factors that, you know, I always say, I specialize in stress management because I'm a good example of a stress trigger for myself. So I really have to focus on walking the talk and not, you know, it's quite easy to teach people in an intellectual capacity. But if you haven't felt it in your own body and bones, you can't be convincing. That's what I believe. So, you know, instead of falling into the pit of despondency and depression about this metabolic syndrome and the risk and all this, I rather go into the genetic risk you have is a predisposition. Very important to understand the difference. It's a predisposition. It's a possibility. It is not an inevitability that it has to happen. And that is where lifestyle and belief and doing mind training to get out of lack and fear. And all of that really changes the outcome of your own DNA expression. It's like your cells are listening to you all the time. And it's exactly why sound is also important. Our cells listen in biophotonic, it's color and sound, but it's very, very biological, so it's soft. And if you do that, you change the expression of how your cells generate DNA, which is then again responsible for all the protein that does all the functions in the body.
In our pre-talk, you talked about the placebo and the nocebo effect, which, yeah, the nocebo effect, I'm not sure if I pronounce it correctly, but it's the first time I heard about that. Could you say something about that?
Yes, I think most of us know what placebo is. That means, and I have to say to listeners, that placebo is the most effective medicine around. And let me explain what I'm saying there. A placebo is when they do double-blind placebo-controlled studies, research studies. Then what they do is the researcher and the people who are being tested don't know who gets the active substance and who gets the placebo, because the sugar pill is known, because it will look exactly the same. So then if a medication or a drug is 0.05% stronger than the placebo, then it's regarded as an effective medicine. So the placebo is still the strongest effect, and that is also the belief that what you have is the active ingredient, and then your symptoms improve, whereas you had the placebo. So it's a very, very important healing tool for us to learn how to implement our own placebo effect. And then the opposite of that is the nocebo effect. And that is, for instance, when, like what happened with me, the psychiatrist really emphasized strongly, powerfully, the negative high-risk, terrible effects. Now, that can be regarded as nocebo. If I believe it, I will get worse and worse. So that's again where health practitioners also have to be very aware of leaving patients always with hope, with a sense of hope and healing, and not with a dread of a nocebo talk. It's a way of converting. If people have a dread disease, it's not like, not be honest, but it's to, you know, not to give people the idea of it's hopeless and helpless and nothing I can do will help. So that's basically in short what it is. But people can really read it up, because Greg Braden also did a lot of work, and Bruce Lipton, on the placebo and the nocebo effect. So it's really an interesting topic.
Thank you. I'll mention those two names in the podcast notes. And then when you told us that you were a good candidate for a third stroke, you also mentioned dementia. How does that fit into this picture?
Well, that's also to do with the microinflammation that starts pressing and flowing together, and it presses on brain tissue. For me, it will be the basal ganglia at the back and right in the middle of the brain. And if those messages don't cross as they should, dementia is one of the side effects, and then also multiple sclerosis. So, for instance, for me, I can't take statins because I know about all the side effects on our whole aging profile and diseases, what happens. And I also get terrible muscle pains from statins. So what I'm doing to keep the blood vessels open is I increase the omega-3s that I take, which is like the cold water salmon oil or krill oil. I increased it to double the dosage I used to take, and then also my NeuroBalance, the antioxidant and herbal combination with ginkgo biloba and ashwagandha and lion's mane in, I've increased that dosage as well to help. You see the difference between mainstream, it suppresses symptoms at best. It doesn't cure. whereas with natural and herbal remedies, you restore the physiology of the body. So that comes closer to a cure. So that's basically the main difference. And then I've increased it. I am using a mainstream blood pressure triple combination to control my blood pressure, and that definitely helps.
Now, we've talked about stroke, and then we still have retinopathy and depression to speak about. Which one are you going to speak about next?
Well, I'll shortly mention retinopathy. It is also a micro inflammation within the small blood vessels in the eye. So it's the same process as what's going on in my brain. It's micro inflammation. And that then causes a layer of very thin layer of increased fluid between the layers of the retina. And that then leads to visual challenges, often worse in the one eye than the other eye. And it was for me a huge challenge to understand. And now that I've also been for 2 months using the X39 LifeWave patches, my eyes have definitely improved, because that activates your own dormant stem cells. So it's not like injection with other stem cells or that you do find. It's light therapy that actually activates your own dormant stem cells. And that has definitely improved my eyesight. And that's why I started using it after 2 months. And it shows that on the scans as well with the eye surgeon, that in the last 2 months, my eyes have really improved. So I still have a challenge of, I do drive, but I'm very careful that I know the area very well where I drive, because I find it quite difficult to read street names, especially if it's on the curb. And I don't leave at night, because also retinopathy causes your eyes to be very light sensitive. So at night, the traffic lights would actually blind me. And also in the day, I don't drive with the sun shining directly in front of my eyes, because that's also very sensitive. So, it's got its challenges, but I've learned to adapt, and I've learned to have patience with myself and leniency. And then also that really rippled out to people around me, that same empathy and patience to also have that with other people. So like Anson said, yeah, it's your choice. You can live as if nothing is a miracle, or you can live as if every day and everything is a miracle. So it's your choice. You know, you can really, in Afrikaans, say suck in us, or really down in the dumps, or you can choose to uplift you with gratitude, what you're grateful for, and also the things you do have and you do experience, is to focus on that rather than the bias we have as human beings that have had to survive, to have a stress bias and always look at the negative. Because they are, if you do that, then that's what you create. If you focus on the negative and what's wrong with the world. But if you celebrate what's right and what's right in your world, then your body cells hear you and function better.
Thank you. And then we come to your experience of depression. How did you come to enter this dark place?
Yes, I think most people have mood swings, that you have good days and bad days. But mine just started becoming the down moods. Just got a bit overwhelming just for 6 months, especially through different factors. And then the last thing that happened was just with my son, that there was a problem. And that was the final straw that broke this camel's back. So then I realized this mood it stays down too long. And I went to a colleague of mine that also, she's also a GP, and I asked her for help, and she said, well, she knows me well enough, and that is that if I said there's something not right, to do something about it. And then she found a place for me where I could stay residential in a mental health clinic in the Strand. And it was a really, really good experience. And that is also to understand that depression is one of the symptoms of stroke and then one of the side effects. So, for instance, if people have had a heart attack and they recover, then often they have depression. But with a stroke or a brain attack, as it's called, it is that the depression can also lead to the stroke and can be a result of the stroke, the limitations and so on. So that's why the psychiatrist felt that she wanted to have a look again at the MR scan, which I then did. And so it was a shock for me to get over the risk and to move back into my deep belief in you know, that we focus on what's possible and not what the risk is, like a prediction of the future, but you can focus on what's possible in the present moment, right in the now.
When you look at the treatment you received at the clinic, what really helped you?
Well, what helped me at the clinic was the whole approach of integration, where the psychiatrist referred me to the absolutely right clinical psychologist, to the social worker, and for the occupational therapies that did life skill training. So it was the whole, you know what, being a healer, you tend to be fixing. Getting out of fixing is one of the big challenges of mainstream medicine, because you can't fix it. But you go into that mode of wanting to fix, and now suddenly you've got to stand back, and you're not there to take care. You've got to allow others to take care of you. So that was very enriching. But if I have to, and of course the food as well was very good. And that always helps. But it's not good for metabolic syndrome, because if I slip on a lunch bar, little paper, I put on 5 kilos. So that's the one thing with metabolic syndrome as well. One does put on weight very easily. But then of the other things that really, really helped me was the clinical psychologist actually originally studied and practiced for very long as a Methodist preacher in the Methodist Church and also Anglican, and then later did pastoral psychology, and then even later through UNISA he got his PhD in clinical psychology. So we had really fascinating chats about psycho-spirituality and conscious and sub or unconscious, as Jung called it, mind, and superconscious mind, which is our higher self. So that was very, very interesting and very helpful, and learned a lot. And then also the psychotherapy and the mediation that the social worker does. And then, of course, I love the craft. I love art. I always do call it my fun, play fun art that I do, as my hobby. And then that also had to change completely after my retinopathy developed, because I couldn't do the fine and the botanical art that I used to do. But then also I illustrated and wrote my last book, My Little Bluebird of Love. And I illustrated, so I found if I use certain thicker pens, watercolor pens, I could illustrate even though I couldn't paint. And then there at the clinic, I did symbolic work with mosaics. And for instance, I would never go to the beading station, because for me, to get a little thread through that bead, that would be a frustration. So I don't do that. But with mosaic, one can do it. And also with paint with thicker and bigger strokes and using washes. So there's always a way around if your mind is open enough and willing to explore.
A quick note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life by interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, marietsneeman.co.za, and it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. The section Up Close and Personal on my website offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You'll find more information under Services on my website. Now, back to my guest. Now, Irene, since I got to know you, you've been an ardent advocate for self-care. How do you now optimize the various aspects of your health?
Yes, that's very important, the self-care. And I use the analogy of, you know, when people, women especially, often think when you do self-care, it's selfish. So I want to use the analogy of the heart, and it's physiologically true. When the heart works just as a pump, now the heart's much more than a pump, but that's now a topic for another time. If it just works as a pump, it pumps the blood with oxygen-rich blood and nutrients to all 50 trillion cells of the body. Now that's a huge drop. Every pump that the heart gives throughout our lives gets the blood there and gets the carbon dioxide and all the waste products we blow out. And it's the whole contraction and relaxation that causes that. But before the heart does that, in a split nanosecond, it first gives blood to itself in order for it to be able to care for the 50 trillion cells. So that is an example of self-care. That's not a selfish act. Is that you care for yourself, then you care for others as well. Like, you know, you have to love yourself on a very deep level before you can really extend love to others. So that's basically self-care. And we each have to find what works for us. Like, a very good habit I learned after the stroke is to have a power nap in the afternoon. Now, if I get too busy and I don't do it, it's to my detriment. But if you just do it, and a power nap means you just nod off for 10 minutes and you feel refreshed. It's not like sleeping for 6 hours in the afternoon. But also eating healthy, rainbow colors, especially for your fruit and veggies, to make sure you get all the colors of the rainbow every day. Eating brain food and nuts and seeds, the correct nuts, for instance, for the brain, looks like the brain, and those would be pecan nuts and walnuts. So that's self-care. Earthing, bare feet in sand or water, or walking on little stones to earth yourself. Because we're always wearing shoes with soles and rubber soles, then we don't connect with the earth. Also, to just walk outside and get natural sunlight early morning and later afternoon. Get the sun on the head. It's really good for our pineal glands in the middle of our brains to get the light, because it makes melatonin and cortisol. So, again, that's a topic for another day. But, you know, there's really a lot one can do. And to try for your brain plasticity, to try any creative activity, and also then to use your non-dominant hand. For instance, silly things. Use your non-dominant hand to write your own name. And then the numbers, say 1 to 26, and then put your name based on the numbers. And it's really good exercise. And it's a challenge for you to get left and right brain to work together. So for me, self-care is to do that, and also to dance, to try every day. And I've been lazy the past few days. But it's to play some music and to just move to the beat and the rhythm of my favorite music.
Thank you, Irene. Could you tell us more about the many services you offer?
Well, yeah, I do one-on-one consultations, face-to-face with patients, and I also do online WhatsApp video consultations. And on our website, arianehealth.com, there's a lot of online courses. Among them, 12 weeks, The Way to Wellness, that we've developed, Andrea and I, my daughter. And there's also Stress Solutions. And then my books are also available online, Health and Happiness and Stress Solutions. And then the diabetes, Managing Diabetes, Metabolic Syndrome and Related Challenges. It's also there. And then also my Little Blue Bird of Love book. So that's the books. And then I've developed a relaxation MP3 track for people to learn how to unwind. And then I've formulated a whole range of Ariane Health products, like NeuroBalance Heart Brain Body Support. That's also available on our website online shop, but also then from Faithful to Nature, which is quite a well-known online shop in South Africa. And it's quite, it was a good thing to know that our products are so good that Faithful to Nature was willing to sell it, because they're quite strict and your due diligence on the product. So it was also a good pat on the back for me then to know that the products were also well received. So, and then I do workshops. And like I'm doing one now next month about sweet spring solutions for women, and then go through all the life stages of women. And I also plan on having that available shortly as a Zoom workshop, if you want to call it that. And then I write, I've got my own wellness column that I've had for many years with Odyssey magazine, that where I do the medically speaking for them, combining science and nature again. And then I do consultancy work for quite a few journals and magazines, input on things like neuroplasticity and what's good for mental health and so on. So I think, people can go and look at everything that I am involved with if they do visit our website, arianehealth.com.
And then, where can listeners follow you on social media?
Well, I've got a Facebook page under Irene van der Merwe. My normal Facebook thingy. But I've also got a page, Dr. Dr. Irene. And it would be wonderful if listeners follow and like it, because I try and post practical tips on there most days, and then also informations on when and where I do workshops. So that's Dr. Dr. and then Arin, A-R-I-E-N, and then Arin van der Merwe, just a normal Facebook, what do you call it?
Page.
Profile. No, yes. That's not a page.
Oh, that's a profile.
Dr. Arin is a page. Oh, yeah, okay. That's a profile. And then, of course, people can always contact me through the email address as well.
Thank you. I love following you on Facebook, and I will include all of this in the podcast notes. Just for listeners tuning in on platforms like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can click on the link called This Episode's Podcast Notes, and it will take you to the notes. Okay, Arin, may I ask you a fun question?
Yes. Sorry, Mariette, you know, I forgot something.
Yes.
The book, Little Bluebird Book of Love, that I wrote in English and Afrikaans and illustrated, is available from me. It's not available online.
Okay.
But I've got the hard copy, so people can contact me. And it's for children 4 to 7 years of age, and also while they're learning to read, and it's for the adults to find their inner child while they're reading for the children. And there's some fun activity games and science, again, facts, but in a fun way, and then with the illustrations. So there's even a bird boo or a voelverskrikker in there.
Thank you. We'll put the cover, and then where they can get it from you, we'll put that in the podcast notes too.
Thank you.
Now it's time for your fun question. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
You've mentioned that you like to speak of planting little seeds of hope. I was wondering, Arin, if you could be a seed, which fruit or other plant would grow from you?
Let me think about that. Can't one choose to be a fruit salad?
Yeah. That's evading the answer.
Well, I think I want to be a rose hip.
Oh.
I love rose oil. And that comes often from the rose hip, but first the seed and then it becomes the rose.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah, or a rose hip. If I have to choose, or a berry. Or berries. I love berries.
Yeah.
So I can do generically berries. And a rose heap can also be a berry and a cranberry.
Thank you, Arin. I can just smell the rose water now.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being willing to share your personal journey. I always think that is so powerful because you've lived through it and you are still living through it. And thank you for all you do to help others. I really hope that you will go from strength to strength.
Marie, thank you very much. It's really why I wanted also to come out with this Wounded Healer and the depression is so that people understand, don't suffer in silence, talk about it, ask for help, be willing to acknowledge it and become aware, because you can't deal with your challenge if you're not aware of what the challenge is. So if I can leave that as a last message, is never be afraid or unsure if you share how you feel. It is really important. So thank you, Mariette, for giving me this opportunity of spreading those seeds of hope and healing that I'm so passionate about.
Indeed. Thank you, Arin. And to our listeners, it was good of you to join us. I'd be honored if you'd subscribe to this podcast series and if you'd visit my website, marietsneeman.co.za. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with someone you care about. go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear and Helpful, is produced by me with original music by Mark Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9.